Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, I think I already hit record, and here we are talking. So, hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast. We talk about the wrestling you need to watch now, the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you wish you could have seen, and stuff. Today, we're talking about stuff. If the title of the episode didn't give it away today, we're going to talk about Logan, which is a movie we both seen, Kong Skull Island, which is a movie you've seen, and I also want to talk about some other movies coming out this year that I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
But first of all, what did you think of Logan?
It sucked. Nah, just kidding.
Yeah. I was willing to go 5 minutes with you on that of just bashing it.
No, I thought it was awesome, man. I mean, I did. It's you know, that Wolverine Origins flick is just hated on by everybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate it as much as a lot of other people did.
Right.
But I still, it wasn't great. And the Wolverine was good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But Logan gave me, the longtime Wolverine fans, the version of Wolverine that we've wanted to see, which is bloody.
Yeah.
Which is hacking people's arms off and stuff. I mean, couldn't believe when he hacks that guy's arm off.
Right.
I couldn't believe they showed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great, man. I loved it.
I felt like if you're a comic book fan, if you're a Wolverine fan, we've all wondered, what's R-rated Wolverine? And I feel like we got that.
He's an R-rated. He's like the Punisher. He's an R-rated character.
Right. So if you're listening to this, this is not a movie to take your kid to.
No.
This is
don't make the mistake the Deadpool people made.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like the movie. At the end of it,
Spoiler alert if you have not seen Logan.
Right. We're going to be spoiling the movie.
Yes.
But when the movie was over, my initial feeling was that's not the best movie I've ever seen.
No.
That's not the worst movie I've ever seen. It fit what I expected.
Uh-huh.
It gave me some things I did not expect.
Right.
And it satisfied me.
Yes.
So it did everything that I needed it to do. It showed me the Wolverine I've been wanting to see, and it showed me a Wolverine that I've never seen.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah.
God, that was awesome.
Wait, now what part are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about when...
I'm talking about the emotional aspect.
Oh, yeah. The emotional stuff. I was talking about... when the
X-24. Right.
You know, which was... God, how awesome.
The Wolverine with no conscience.
Yeah, what would happen if Wolverine's got to fight a 30-year younger than himself version of himself?
Like a Wolverine.
With no conscience, whose only desire is to chop people up.
So in this movie, it's set in the future, obviously. The other mutants are dead, but killed by Professor X having some sort of seizure.
Yeah.
Which caused his brain to do something, and he just kills a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Wolverine's healing factor is all but gone.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Very, very slow, I mean.
Very, very slow.
You're talking about a guy that, in the time frame of those movies, is like 150, something like that. I remember reading it.
Right.
He's 130, 140 years old.
Yeah.
I thought
the background of the movie, the setting of the movie, very believable, very good. He encounters this. What's happened? Do we want to go through the whole plot?
I don't think we need to go through the whole plot.
But I like
the movie. I mean,
but there's a girl in the movie who is basically a clone of Wolverine.
X-23.
She's from his DNA.
Who is in the comic continuity is the new Wolverine.
Yes. And this, so technically, she is his daughter.
Yes.
And they play off of that.
Oh, wonderfully.
And they get into some, as a father with two daughters, it resonated with me. The conversations they had, the things they were fighting about.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
When they got in the little bitty car she stole, and she's wanting to go to the, I can't remember the name of it.
Eden.
She's wanting to go to Eden, and he's like saying, "We ain't going. That ain't nothing." And they're just arguing back and forth and just yelling at each other. And he's like, "All right, we'll go." And it was just like so good. And let me tell you, Hugh Jackman, hats off, brother.
Yeah, like more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Probably in the history, even like James Bond.
Yes.
And Batman. I mean, these iconic characters, one person has played the same character in every movie.
Yeah, he's.
And done it well. Like, however bad you might think some of the movies were, he was always great as Wolverine.
That is 100% correct.
He got that character. He understood that he was a bad dude, but he had a heart, yeah. Obviously. I mean, he could very easily have been a villain. Sometimes his actions are villainous.
Yeah.
But he always captured the heart of who that character was.
So
never better, I don't think, than in this. You know,
you talked about the heart. So, again, spoiler alert. This fan theory came out, and the director said, "Oh, no, that's not a theory. That's in there for a reason." Mm-hmm. In the Wolverine movie, mm-hmm. he encounters the Japanese mutant who can see the future. Mm-hmm. And she tells him, you'll die laying on your back with your heart in your hand. Mm-hmm. What in the world do you mean? So, spoiler alert, Mark, tell everybody how this movie ends.
He dies laying on his back with his heart in his hand, but not his actual heart, with the little girl holding his hand.
Yeah.
And boy,
just sitting here talking about it, got a little dusty.
When he dies.
Yeah.
And she cries out, "Daddy."
Oh.
So heartbreaking.
I'm having to compose myself.
But there's a cool scene at the very beginning. Yeah. That I don't know. Maybe a lot of people got it. I took it. She walks into the casino or wherever, uh-huh. and there's two mannequins, and they're holding hands.
Yeah.
And she walks over and looks at it. She's not looking at the clothes.
Right.
She's looking at the relationship.
Right.
But Professor X and Wolverine thinks, well, we got to get her some clothes. Like, they think she's right. looking at it because she wants some new clothes. We, as the audience, know she's looking at it because she wants a father.
Yes.
She wants a parent.
She wants a family.
And she wants a family, and she has one now. She's found a family, as unconventional as it may be.
Yeah. The movie pulled my heartstrings in ways I was not anticipating.
Me too.
Now, I want to say this. The villains in this movie, the dude with the mechanical arm, it turns out he's just a henchman.
Yeah.
He's not even the villain. So maybe my critique of him is off because I'm viewing him as the lead villain. He's not the lead villain.
No, he's just a henchman. I thought, to bring it full circle,
right?
To me, that part would have been better served by bringing back Liev Schreiber or whatever his name is,
yeah.
to be Sabretooth.
Yes.
To me, that would have been a better
yes.
way to go. But I mean, yeah. that's nitpicking.
Yeah. Right. And they do try to tie up all the loose ends
mm-hmm.
from his creation.
Yeah.
And you find out that basically Wolverine and what they were able to do with him as Weapon X, it's inspired them to do – he was the inspiration to try to do all this stuff they're doing with these kids.
Yeah, all of those kids were basically clones of him.
Right.
Right. I mean, they were all they had used.
They had used different X. They had used different.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that part.
So
and then they just figured, why not just clone him? instead right. of trying to use his DNA, let's just clone him.
Yes, yes. And that's what they do, the X-24, which is uh-huh. – and what so what they did with the kids – there's a lot of kids in this movie. And with these kids, they're treating them like kids in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
What they did with X-24 is they clone Wolverine, and they give him no nurturing. It's like they put him in a dark hole – and turn him loose when they need him.
Right. And there's, like, when he, spoiler alert, when Professor X is laid in bed talking to him, and he thinks he's talking to Logan, and he just leans in and puts his fist on his chest and popped his claw out and killed Professor X. That was heartbreaking, too.
Yeah.
But even more so, like, this is the difference between the PG-13 and the R rating. When he kills the family.
Yeah. It's brutal.
That would not have happened.
Right.
In another movie, but because it's R-rated and because it like he slaughters this whole family,
slaughters is the word.
I was not expecting that. Like that to me, that was the biggest shock of the whole film was that he killed that family, which showed. And I know why they did it because it let me know he has zero remorse. He killed this. It wasn't a child, but it was a 13. Yeah. It was a teenager.
Yeah.
And he just kills him like he would have killed, like he killed, an old man with dementia laid in a
right,
bed.
Right.
And he kills this mother and father and their child with no remorse about it.
Yeah. Like I said, it was an emotionally satisfying movie.
I loved it, man. But I will say, like, I'm ready. Can we retire Johnny Cash's Hurt? I think it's time to retire that song.
Yeah.
And find another one.
Yeah. Wait, when did that song
play? It was in the trailer.
Like, oh, gotcha.
Every trailer about a bleak future with an old guy, with an old guy saddling up one more time. And speaking of that, the parallels with Shane were great.
See, I'm not familiar.
The movie Shane?
I'm not familiar.
Oh, you've never seen Shane?
Not familiar.
Oh, my God.
Who's in it?
Alan Ladd.
Not familiar.
It's the movie that they were watching when she gives the speech at his funeral.
Gotcha. Never seen it. Never heard of it.
Oh, God. Shane shows up in this town, and he is a bad man.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies, if Shane had fought in the beginning, the movie wouldn't have been as good. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
He was trying not to fight.
Right.
But these guys are just terrorizing this town.
Right.
His family. And he doesn't want to get it. Like, he really just wants to be left alone. And
right.
He walks away from this fight so many times.
Yeah.
And finally, they keep pushing, and they keep pushing. And he finally fights, and he lays waste.
Yeah.
To these bad guys. But that was the theme of that movie. Like, right. Yes, he can do this, but he's really wanting to leave that part of himself behind because he didn't like that part of himself.
Right.
So there was that. There's Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
He influenced that film pretty heavily, I think. Same basic story. And then in some ways, have you seen The Wild Bunch?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Sam Peckinpah's masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible film. But it's a film that if you watch it at 20 years old, you won't get it.
Yeah.
Because I did.
Yeah.
And because I'd always heard this movie is a masterpiece of
right.
action, and it's a Western.
Yeah.
So I watched it. I'm 20 years old, and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it.
Right.
And then I watched it last year.
Yeah.
At 40.
Right.
And I got it.
Right.
Because it's about a bunch of old guys who don't want to die in a wheelchair.
Mm.
And they go on what they know is a suicide. They know.
Yeah.
They're in no uncertain terms.
Right.
That their friend has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And that when they go rescue him, they will die.
Right.
They know.
Yeah.
We are going to die when we do this. And they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because they want to go out on their own terms and
wow.
not sitting in a rocking chair. And you don't get that when you're 20. You can only see why it's a brilliant masterpiece through the eyes of a 40-year-old.
Right.
Or a 50 or a 60-year-old. You can't see that at a young
age.
But when you get a little age on you, a little experience, and you can see the beauty in wanting to go out on your own terms.
Who's in that?
Oh, God. Henry Fonda, I think.
The Wild Bunch one. I've heard of.
There's so many.
It's one of those ensembles.
It's one of those ensembles. Ernest Borgnine. Mm. I think it's Henry Fonda. No, not Henry Fonda. God. If you had the guy, I can see him.
If I had a computer with the internet, I could tell you.
Yeah, I can see him right here. I can see the lead. But it is just gone away. But it's not. Henry Fonda was the bad guy in Once Upon a Time in the West.
The Wild Bunch. Stars William Holden, Robert
William
Ryan.
Holden, that's it. William Holden.
See, I'm going to have to look because I don't know who that is. Aha. His birthday is very close to me.
He was, I think, also in A Bad Day at Black Rock or A Bad Day at Bad Rock, something like, which is a really good movie, too, where Spencer Tracy goes into this town and he's just coming to see his friend, and his friend's not there. His friend's Japanese, and this is right after World War II, right after Pearl Harbor. And anyway, nobody cares about old Spencer Tracy movies. It's called A Bad Day at Black Rock.
Here's what the poster says. Unchanged men in a changing land.
Yeah.
Out of step, out of place, and desperately out of time.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. There, I forgot that theme of the movie is that the Old West. This is not set in the Old West. This is set right after the old, when you couldn't just go rob a bank anymore.
Right.
It's set in that era where they know, like, the lifestyle that we lived, we're not going to be allowed to live that anymore, and we're too old to do anything else.
Yeah, gotcha.
And not wanting to rot in a prison cell or in a nursing home. So they undertake one final suicide mission.
Wow.
It's an incredible film. It really is, man. It is a masterpiece.
Well, whenever Mark says, see a movie, I watch a movie. So that is into the computer, and I will be searching it out. another movie that recently just came out, we're recording this March 16th, just released last weekend, Kong Skull Island. Mm-hmm. I have not seen this yet. My family went. They all liked it.
Uh-huh.
Their only regret was they watched it in 3D.
Uh-huh.
And it was not, to them, it wasn't worth the 3D.
See, I didn't watch it in 3D. I just went.
But my girls said the next day, they saw it on Saturday, and they wanted to get, I didn't see it with them.
Right.
And they said, Dad, we want to go see it again.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And it's if you don't know, they're setting up a multiverse with Godzilla. Well, the criticism of Godzilla from mm-hmm. not just me, from everybody, like when I saw it, I thought it, and everybody kind of felt the same way, was you got a movie called Godzilla, that Godzilla's in the movie for, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
He might have been in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Kong is in this movie, and not obviously full on, but he's in the movie like within the first 2 or 3 minutes.
You see
part of him.
Yeah.
And then they, spoiler alert, you don't care, but spoiler alert, like they go to Skull Island.
And, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he immediately shows up.
Yeah.
And then he immediately begins attacking these people.
Yeah.
It's just, he's in the movie most of the time.
Mm.
He's not obviously, he's not on screen all the time, but when he's not on the screen, the actors are good enough. Like, John C. Reilly isn't, like, my wife and I were both.
Yeah.
The takeaway was he was, apart from Kong, he was the best part of the movie.
Oh, right.
He was so good. He was so funny with the line.
That's what my kid said.
Oh, he's so good when he meets, he's been trapped on this island since World War II. This one's set in Vietnam, which was great. It was the perfect setting for it, set it in Vietnam, because during the Vietnam era, the music. Like, mm-hmm. they played all that classic. Like, if you've never seen Apocalypse Now, it was
very similar.
And it was a heavy influence on this movie. It was heavily influenced by Apocalypse Now. They took King Kong, like the Peter Jackson version, which I just watched like a few days ago, because I knew I was going to see this. So I kind of wanted to compare him, which is long. It was like 3 hours and 20 minutes.
It's way too long.
It's way too long. But when King Kong shows up, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. The original King Kong is my grandfather's favorite movie. So
black and white.
Yeah. The original one from 1933. And I can't find it anywhere. I want a copy of King Kong, and I can't find it anywhere.
We bought the Peter Jackson King Kong, and it came with a DVD with various King Kong movies on it.
Really? You probably gave that to Goodwill?
No, I don't think we did, because Drake bought it with his money.
Okay, okay. So,
but we probably gave it to Goodwill.
He probably gave it to Goodwill.
I'll look. Before you leave today, I'll look.
That's no big deal. I thought about swinging by Pauline's at lunch, but I knew we had to get back. But,
yeah. We ain't been there in a long time.
We hadn't. but yeah, that was my grandfather's favorite movie.
Like, I've never seen the original.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, by today's standards, obviously, it's not that great. But like he told me, he said, because it came out in 1933, and I forget what year he was born in, but obviously he would have been very young when it came out. And he just told me he'd never seen anything that that thrilling or that exciting. And it was just this new, like, it set a lot of standards for theatrics. But in 1933 and in the 2005 version, King Kong is like 25 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then in this, like, I think 76 or 77, the one with Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
She is gorgeous in that movie.
Yeah. Man.
It's a dude in a suit.
Yeah.
I watched it like a few months ago, too, matter of fact.
So here's a funny story.
Hang on, let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But in this movie,
yeah,
to establish this, like, King Kong's like 130 feet tall.
Yeah, he's huge.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Dude, it is so incredible when they fight him and he's in the, they're all in helicopters and he's, it's so good. And that's like the first 30, 45 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And then you get into the actual story of
it. Wow.
So he has this huge fight with all these guys in helicopters. He fights a giant squid. I mean, anyway, what were you going to say?
Do you remember when they did King Kong Lives?
Is that the...
They did a sequel.
Yeah.
So King, and where they give King Kong an artificial heart.
And
then they find
that.
The female. What's funny is Tracy Sanders, your former college roommate.
Uh-huh.
Well, I used to hang out. His brother was about the same age as my brother. Uh-huh. Well, for somehow, some way, me and Tracy Sanders' older brother, it's just me and him one weekend hanging out at my house.
Uh-huh.
And we get some movies, and that's one of the movies that we get. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, King Kong Lives is terrible.
Yeah.
And they give him an artificial heart, and he ends up having a heart attack, but they have a baby, and then that kind of teasing what's going to...
Son of Kong, which was a...
I didn't remember.
They made a movie called Son of Kong.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But anyway...
go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Peter Jackson one, it was just way too long,
but it's still a good movie.
But they did... Andy Serkis did... The facial expressions for Kong. I'm not sure how they did.
Motion capture.
Right. I'm not sure if they did Kong Skull Island. I haven't.
They did that with one of the guys who's actually in the movie. He plays a character named Chapman.
Yeah.
And he's actually the guy that did the King Kong. And he also does one of the apes in Planet, like Rocket, I think, in Planet of the Apes. He's also him. So, I mean, he's. But it was really cool. They used the design of the original King Kong to make. To do the he like the Peter Jackson version, he looked like an oversized gorilla. He looked like a silverback gorilla.
Yes,
but he was just extraordinarily large. In this movie, he looks like the King Kong from 1933.
Ah,
so you know he has a big battle. John C. Reilly, incredible. Yeah. He fights a giant squid, but there's these other monsters too. It's not like there are these birds and there's this huge spider that they fight. It's like the perfect monster movie.
Yeah.
And it gives me hope because in 2020, they're doing Kong versus Godzilla.
Right.
Which, like, I would just advise you if you go see it to stay past the credits.
Yes.
And yes. Then you'll know that they're doing King Kong versus Godzilla. If you
see
You know anyway, if you look, that's not like a big spoiler there. But, but yeah, they said come to find out Kong's not the only monster out there. And they showed Mothra. And Rodan, and just like, but they didn't, they showed like hieroglyphs of them. And then Godzilla, you hear his roar.
Yeah.
And so 2020, we get Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, that's going to be
a fantasy matchup. They did it in a Japanese film, but Well, especially if you've seen Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
I love
it. Highly underrated.
Yes, it was.
Highly underrated.
And they're doing a sequel because, you know, like the kaiju movies or whatever, the giant monster films are huge in Japan. So even though Pacific Rim didn't make a whole lot of money here, they released it in Japan, and it was a phenomenon.
It blew up,
I mean, and it's got some incredible fight sequences.
Yeah.
Those monsters and those big Jaegers, man.
And
I
just
love
the way the story of the Jaegers, of how they operate.
Oh, man.
Is so good, man.
It's like, not to me, just like you and I, the Iron Man, when it was just the Iron Man suit and he's not in the suit, there's no stakes involved for him to be in a fight.
Yeah.
But when you take these guys and you put them in this big suit, you know what? I think I'm watching Pacific Rim tonight.
Me too. Actually, I'm going to watch The Wild Bunch, and then I'm going to watch Pacific Rim.
You should watch The Wild Bunch.
So,
and also Once Upon a Time in the West, if you just want
never
to
see seen that.
Oh, that's great.
So you mentioned Planet of the Apes. The next Planet of the Apes movie coming out.
Wait.
Those are awesome.
Yes.
This one's got Woody Harrelson in just playing, doing his best Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. That's going to be great. Have you seen the new Wonder Woman trailer?
I have not.
It's very much... It focuses on her origin.
Okay, I heard that.
And it is so good. And if you've been reading the Wonder Woman comics, they're basing the movie on kind of her newer origin, which is going to have some twist and turns and spoilers with it. And they alluded to that in the trailer here, that there's something about her creation that they don't want her to know.
Gotcha.
At least that's what I took from it. But the action looks great. Other than the Kill Bill movies, and I don't necessarily consider her a heroine from that movie, from Kill Bill. Maybe so. Good night. Somebody's blowing my phone up.
I bet I know who it is.
No. That's what you say every time, and it's not.
Yeah,
never. That one day it was.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman.
The new Fast and Furious, the Fate of the Furious. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really disappointed. I wish I'd have known we were going to talk about the movies we're looking forward to, because I know there's a list of like 30 that my wife and I were talking about. Like just the other day, we were running down this great list. I'm disappointed there was going to be a new Friday the 13th, and it got scrapped, and they were fixing to start shooting.
Yeah.
Right down the road
really?
In Georgia. And they scrapped it, and the script released. The script leaked after the movie got dropped, which was probably by the guy who wrote it.
Yeah.
To say, here's what you were going to get.
Yeah.
And it was going to be an incredible film that followed three generations of Voorhees killers, with his introduction of his father for the first time, Elias Voorhees, if you follow the canon of the film, who you would have this murder starting the movie off, and it would be this hulking killer with a bag over his head, and come to find out it was Jason's father who was a mass murderer. And then the mother would have some kids were going to take Jason out on a boat and give him LSD, and he's obviously got mental I don't know the correct term. I try to
mental issues.
He's got whatever. I mean, you know what he is. And they would have given him LSD, and it would have screwed with his mind. And they were going to think he drowned. And his mother would go on to do the...
Yeah.
And she would kill the father
because
the father would recognize the evil in Jason, and he was going to try to kill Jason at an early age because he would recognize what he was going to become, even though he's evil as well.
Yeah.
And the mother, Pamela, was going to kill the father.
Right.
And then we would have had part of the movie follow her.
Yeah.
Do her bloodbath at the Long Night at Camp Blood, which was the original name of the movie.
Right.
And then we would have seen her get killed. And then the final, like the last hour of the movie would have been Jason going on a rampage to avenge his mother. And like I didn't read the whole script, but I read like the highlights of it and stuff. It really would have been it was going to be set like in different eras.
Oh, wow.
starting like in the late 60s, early 70s, and then going into the 80s. It wouldn't have gone into our current time. It was going to be set like no later than the 80s with Jason doing his thing. But that got scrapped, and that was such a good script by everybody who read it. And Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I tried to watch, what was the one before this?
Prometheus.
Prometheus. Yes. Tried to watch that. Probably need to try to watch it again.
Nah, I don't think you miss a whole lot. It's not.
I've never seen any of the Alien movies. That's not my, you know, my bag. Yeah.
I love them, man. I love them. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's coming out in 2017. I could be wrong. Danny McBride, do you know? He is writing the sequel to the new Halloween.
Ah.
Which will pick up after the original Halloween 2.
Yeah.
And apparently he knocked Carpenter's socks off with this.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a comedy. Like, he's very clear, like, this is not a funny movie.
Yeah.
We're not. But they have written this, him and his partner wrote a script for the Halloween. And then Leatherface. Is finished. It's done. It's in the can. And they just haven't released it yet. So apparently it's not very good, or they would have released it.
This year, we're getting Justice League.
Yeah.
We're getting Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, that's one of
them. That's in April, I think. April or May. Like, it's starting to hit me. We're in March. Like, it's almost summer movie season.
Summer movie season now.
Right.
I mean, 10 years ago, King Kong would have been out 2 months from now.
Right.
And so would Logan. They're starting it in March.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know people may be surprised of all these other films I would talk about, but man, we're going to see Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Probably, I think it comes out this Friday.
I asked my girls, I said, do you guys want to see this? And they're like, no.
It's a generational thing.
And Milena said, I've never seen it. She's like, I don't know what it's about. And I said, you don't know what it's about. And she said, well, it's about this guy, and he gets cursed, and he turns into a beast, and then there's this girl, and she's trying to break the curse. I'm like, you do know what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
It's about a beauty and a beast. Yeah. And if you have not seen the Saturday Night Live skit with Gerard Butler playing the Beast and Kristen Wiig playing Belle, it is a must see.
So is the one where Tracy Morgan plays the Beast and Britney Spears plays.
I've not seen that beauty. One.
That's incredible. We quote that all the time.
Really? Okay.
He writes a song and he finishes it with "Make a doo doo pie." we sing that around the house all the time.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. And then the big one, Last Jedi.
Yeah.
December.
Yeah.
You and I did not get to see Rogue One together. Did not get to see Force Awakens together.
And I'll probably go see The Last Jedi with Ethan.
Well, all right then. Did you ever see Rogue One?
No. Actually, I checked last night because a lot of times Amazon will put them up early so you can go ahead and buy it. I was going to buy it last night, but it's not on there yet.
Okay. I want to hear your thoughts on
sometimes
it.
Sometimes things just
it just
don't line up for me. It's not that I don't want to see stuff.
And a lot of times it's like if you don't see it in the first couple of weeks, you kind of lose that. You're just like, okay, Redbox. I'll just wait.
And something else comes out that I want to see, and then something else. We saw something the other week. I can't even remember what it was now, so it must have been incredible.
Right. What was the movie we Sully? That was pretty good.
I never saw Sully.
What was the? I can't remember, man. We ran in a movie and we were all like, "Oh man, that was really really good." And now it was so good, I can't.
Same thing. I remember me and her. We went to the movies.
It was Arrival.
Yes, Arrival was good.
Oh my!
Arrival was really good.
Arrival wrecked me.
Why?
Emotionally.
I remember you posted that and you were like, one day I'm going to tell it.
It wrecked me emotionally because, spoiler alert. So you have this movie where Amy Adams come to find out, as she is learning the alien's
language. Spoiler alert. This is a big part of the movie.
Yeah, this is the part of the movie.
This is the key moment of the movie.
So, yeah. So, fast forward, I don't know, a few minutes.
You feel like she is looking back on her life.
That's what they portray it as.
You lead up, right. The whole movie is she's looking back on these great tragedies.
Yeah. And you come to find out that as you learn the alien's language, it opens up time and space to you.
Time becomes a linear thing.
Yes. And so there are things happening. For instance, she's learning their language.
Or not becomes a linear thing. It stops being a linear.
Right. And you become aware of things. And so she needs this phone number. And so she's having a vision of the future where she gets the phone number.
Right.
At just the right moment. It's like she's, yeah.
Like the other, all these the guy things. Whose phone number she needs was also learning their language.
Yes.
And he knew.
Yes.
Like it's complex.
Right.
Like he is aware now too. So he and her like meet up in this thing and he gives her the number so that she can call him to talk him out of doing what he knows he's going to do because he knows that what he's going to do is going to lead to the world ending.
Right.
So he wants her to talk him out of it. So he gives her in the future.
Yeah.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
But it's not. It's complicated until you see it play out, you know?
And she tells him, these are my wife's final words. And so she calls him on his – it's like the president of China.
He's about to launch a strike on these guys.
He's about to launch nuclear weapons. She calls him and he answers and she says, this is your wife's dying words.
Yeah.
And that's how he knows, okay, this was real or whatever. But the whole movie, you've been seeing that Amy Adams loses a daughter to illness, disease.
Her marriage breaks up because of it.
And what you come to find out is none of that has happened yet.
Right. She's seeing her future.
And the reason her marriage breaks up is she decides to tell her husband that their daughter is going to die.
Right.
And there's that realization. She says in the movie, I know why my marriage ends.
Yeah.
And as you're thinking, oh, man, her marriage broke up. But the whole movie, you're seeing her fall in love to the guy she's going to marry.
Right. You're watching them fall in love at the same time. It's
But the thing that wrecked me was just the emotion of that. And then to know, like for me, all right, my wife has Huntington's disease. I have 3 kids. They all have a 50% chance of getting it. So I'm thinking about that in this movie of how do you have those conversations? You see Amy Adams walking with her child through this illness in this movie. And it was just powerful to me. And it just so many for me, the way I was watching it, so many spiritual overtones. Because as you're watching Arrival, there are some people that get that there's something else going on that everybody doesn't get. And that's how I feel a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a spiritual world that we are – some are aware of it and some are not aware of it, but even those that are aware of it don't really fully understand it. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm reminded of the possibility of understanding what can't be understood, there's a spark in my human DNA of, I just want to live more. I want to live better. So it was – I'm probably the only guy on the planet that got that from Arrival. But I almost got, like, I was so tired that night. Mm-hmm. And we were about an hour in, and I was just going to go to bed. And I said, you know what? I'd already read the spoilers. I'd already read the ending. And I said, man.
Why do you do that?
I read the ending.
I don't understand that.
And if like, I read the ending of Arrival and said, I'll watch this. But if I read the ending and the endings and it's not captivating to me, if the story is not captivating to me, but people do that all the time when they go see a movie that they already read the book, you know, a lot of times.
Yeah, but man, it just seems like, especially with a movie like that, like to deprive yourself of the moment of realization that she's not seeing the past. She's seeing something that hasn't happened yet. And even though this bad thing is going to happen, she's still going to do things the same way.
So this is how good Arrival was. All right. This is how good it was. I watched that movie knowing everything. And it still hit me.
Yeah.
It was still powerful.
Now imagine how powerful it would have been if you hadn't.
I don't know that I would have gotten it. Because I watched it differently.
Can I? Well, let me. Because I know you.
Yeah.
Were you watching it? Because a lot of times you do things with a phone in your hand.
I did not. My phone. My phone. I didn't have anything. I didn't have my phone in my hand. Because it was like, all right, family movie night. I'm putting my phone in here. But I was so tired. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to bed. And this movie hooked me in.
It was a great. I didn't think it would be as good as it was. It was phenomenal. I watched a thing about it like right afterwards because I'm a big I want the deeper meaning of things. So like there are a lot of people on YouTube that explore those types of things.
Yeah.
So I watched this video about it,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't really go in depth with the deeper meaning.
Yeah,
what it went in depth about was that this was a love letter to good filmmaking. Like this is how you make a good film,
huh?
It's not a sequel to anything.
Yeah.
It's an original idea.
Right.
It didn't set itself up to tell more stories down the line. It wasn't cute. It wasn't tongue-in-cheek. It didn't, you know, it was what it was.
Right.
It set out to tell a good story.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah. And no merchandising.
No.
You talk about it. I mean, they didn't
have collector's cups at Burger King. There were no Arrival toys and Happy Meals. They weren't.
It was a great movie.
They weren't Arrival flavored M&Ms.
Like if I looked up who the writer of that movie was.
It's like a short story or something because I did look it up.
But whoever the director of that movie was, if you told me, hey, this is his next movie coming out, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
That's how good it, like, this is, let me get on here on the internet, because this is like a career-making deal.
It seems like he has landed a gig to direct some big movie now.
And now he's going to be ruined.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, it's like, you know, in wrestling, the guys go to the indies and they have these incredible, Kevin Owens.
Denis Villeneuve. He's a French-Canadian. That explains it right there.
What other movies has he directed? But
he did Prisoners, which I've got, but I haven't seen.
Sicario.
He's
got another movie coming out. It's like a big...
Rated R for nudity. It's short. None of these others have I...
Can you click?
Blade Runner. That's the one.
That's it. I knew it. He had something.
Have you seen the... I've got to see the original.
Never seen it?
I'm about halfway through it.
God.
Can I just say this? Amy Adams is so beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
She is so understatedly beautiful.
Yes.
That you don't gawk over the whole movie.
Right.
But it's just like, man, she is
She's beautiful. Got that quality. Emma Watson is the same way.
Right.
That's what's her name? She's in the Beauty and the Beast
movie. Yeah.
She's the same way. I mean, my wife and I were talking about that. She's got that Miss Elizabeth quality about her where she's got class. And Amy Adams is the same way. She's classy.
I thought she was great as Lois Lane.
Yeah, she was good. She was good.
Interesting to see if she'll be in Justice League any, but we'll see. A lot of great movies, and as you see them, fans, you know that right here on the Double Dropkick Show, we'll be talking about them, and we'll be telling you what's good, what's not good.
I'm going to the movies a lot this year, because we named a few. I know there's like 10 or 15 other movies.
Yeah.
That we have already slated. All right, we got to see this. We're back. Like last year, my wife and I used to go to the movies every Friday.
Right.
Well, now our schedules have changed. We're not off every Friday, but... Even after that, we went once or twice a month.
Yeah.
And we will some days, and we'll go see two movies.
Yeah.
It's just, this is movie day.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll go to the movies, we'll see one, we'll get out, we'll buy tickets, go see another one. And we didn't do that in 2016.
Yeah.
2017, there's so many movies. Like I said, we just scratched the surface of the ones I know she and I have talked about going to see.
Right.
Just in the next 2 months.
Right.
Speaking of Logan, though,
yeah.
Like back just before we wrap up, the Deadpool trailer,
uh-huh.
The beginning of it.
What yeah.
did you think of that?
I thought it was unexpected.
Yeah.
That was what was great about it. But
yeah,
it is.
Awesome. And it was like a little short film.
It really was. It was more than a trailer.
Yeah.
When does the next Deadpool come out? Because wasn't there some controversy? Director dropped out
or
something?
Yeah, the director's dropped out. But yeah, it's like 2019 or something. It's a good. It may be 2018. But it's a good ways away.
It's interesting to see where they go from here with the X-Men. If they go yeah. with these young kids.
I think that's the plan.
And do and I'm just going to be honest. I'm not interested in that movie because I don't know any of the characters.
They're too hard to follow, man. Like I tried the first class was good.
Yes.
And the one after that, whatever, I can't remember the name of it.
Days of Future Past.
Yes, yes. It was really good. I really liked it.
Yes.
Man.
Apocalypse
just didn't do it for me.
No. No.
It's Apocalypse, no thank you, instead of Apocalypse Now. It was, I just couldn't get into it, man. I tried.
No, I don't. And
first
I can't
of all,
put my finger on it.
I can.
Okay.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The X-Men is a vehicle for Wolverine.
Right.
And you're going to have to cast somebody in that role.
Yeah.
To take it over.
Whether you like it
whether
or you don't
like it.
Whether
you like it or anybody likes somebody's got to be Wolverine, and you got to let him be Wolverine. And
as much as I loved Hugh Jackman.
And if Jennifer Lawrence don't want to wear blue makeup, then they need to get rid of her.
Right. Right.
Or don't hire an actress that popular who you want to see her face. That's not Mystique.
Yeah. Mystique is blue.
Mystique is blue.
And naked.
Yes. And if she doesn't want to wear the blue makeup, that's fine. She doesn't need to do it anymore.
Right. I think they messed. I mean, I love Hugh Jackman. But when they rebooted X-Men, they made a mistake in not rebooting Wolverine as well.
I agree.
They should have started from scratch with that. But I think they were already invested in the Wolverine trilogy.
You kinda but you know, you could have. Because honestly, these are like younger versions of the people we've already seen. So why not just make a younger version of him? And you could keep them separate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Now, I guess, is the time to. But even in those movies, they've established the time frame of Wolverine getting out of the Weapon X facility in Apocalypse. He was Weapon X, and they released him.
Yeah.
So they've established him in that continuity.
Well, and then just First Class, they tried to recruit him.
Yeah.
And he has like a 2-second cameo,
yeah,
you know?
It's two words, I think.
Right. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I can't say that. That's right. No. We're not in the patrons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to hear me say it, go to the patrons group.
Go to the patrons group.
Heath doesn't censor me there.
Because you record without my presence.
That's
out
right.
of my presence. So, we haven't talked much wrestling, but listen, it's all the same. A good storytelling is good storytelling.
That's it.
Good characters are good characters. And you got to make people care.
And my hat's off to Hugh Jackman for creating a version of a character that I loved.
Yeah.
From being a child.
Yeah.
And doing it and sticking to it and loving that character enough that he fought to make it right.
Right.
To do it right. Even when he misstepped with a few things. It still, yeah. His heart was in it and doing it right.
Right, right.
And I appreciate that. He'll never hear this, but my hat's off to him.
Yeah, and he's portrayed the same character in more movies than any other person
in history.
And honestly,
what else has he done?
Les Miserables.
Which, yeah, okay. But I mean, really, he doesn't have any other franchises that he...
Right, right. Know, and people don't... He's done a lot of Broadway stuff.
Yeah, he was a stage actor.
And he's talented.
Yeah.
The movie Real Steel was pretty good.
It was, man.
Very.
It was
a lot
good.
More entertaining than it had any right to be.
It was based on a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my nephew and I watched that together, and I was shocked at how good it was.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Speaking of very entertaining.
Yeah.
We're very entertaining.
We are.
And if they want to follow us on Twitter.
I'm at Heath Mulligan.
And I'm at the DDK Show.
Where can they go to support the show financially?
They can go to patreon.com/doubledropkick.
Yeah. For $1 a month, what do they get?
They get to hear me say.
Hey, we're getting ready to, you know, just trying to just create good content, better content, talk about things. You know, it's WrestleMania season. We really haven't talked much about WrestleMania. So on March 30th, if you are a patron, we're going live that Thursday in the patrons only group, and we're going to lay out our dream WrestleMania card using matches that actually happen.
Uh-huh.
We can only use people one time, and we can only use the titles
one time. I think somebody stole that. They didn't know we were going to do it, but somebody else had this idea, and they posted it in our Wrestling You Grew Up.
Yeah, like what would you be – yeah, if you could only use –
but we just so you know, we had this idea for a month or two.
Right. We also also had the idea for superheroes joining together as a team. So, like, before there were the Avengers and the Justice League – Heath, Mark, and several other people, we were the Voltron Force at Pendleton Elementary. So there you go. But yeah, so that's going to be here in a couple of weeks. It's been a good day. We're going to record a little bit more tag team tournament stuff, but make sure doubledropkick.com.
I thought we were going to talk about wrestling for a while.
We can talk about wrestling. We talk about whatever. It's our show.
Just get a little show, get a little promotion.
Get a little promotion. Hey, I tell you what we do. We're going to put the belt on the hometown hero and then do an angle that completely takes away from the hometown hero winning the belt.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea? What do you think?
Well, I think the last time we put it on the guy that took away from the hometown hero this time, we had some other guys come out and take away his steam, didn't
they? Yeah. That's it. I guess that's the promotion's gimmick.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.